la la. Welcome back to another episode of the Blackout Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
Dude, I gotta say, the thumbnail that you made for last week's podcast was by far the coolest thumbnail I've ever seen in my life for a podcast. Of the goldfish.
Thank you, dude. Thank you, dude.
That's so good.
The power of being unemployed and having access to AI.
Dude, I don't know what to think about AI, man. I'm a creative like yourself. I like AI for help the things that we're not pros at, like thumbnails and stuff. How do you feel about AI taking over some parts of the world? Where are you at with it?
So my kind of baseline opinion of it is, as long as the stuff that you do to it afterwards is transformative. So that particular thumbnail, yeah, the fish was made with AI, but there's this dope text around it. There's background stuff that I made. There's the way it was edited, the way it was put together. It was transformative. So
yeah,
I'm
with you. I don't mind, because like people who are not really into design don't fully realize that a lot of designers, mostly like I'd say like 95% of designers, they use websites or archives like Envato elements and creator blocks and art lists. Like even people that use like edit videos, they'll use title sequences, pre-made title sequences, or audio like music, royalty free music. Most artists in any way, shape, or form use elements of pieces of art as sampling, basically like sampling. You know, like I'll use a sample texture when designing something, but I won't just take a full design. And it's just standard practice. I'm exactly the same as you. I don't mind using AI as long as it's just like, oh, I need a certain element, so I'll have AI help me with that, and I'll incorporate it into a much larger piece. I'm fine with that. But yeah, and some people take AI and just run with it. It's like, oh, I've now made a canvas, and it's like, dude, you just literally typed in, like. You know,
it's dude, it's like I grew up on DIY punk zines and like zines and hip hop. It's that's all that stuff is. It's
cutting stuff out of magazine. Like so much of art is just resampling stuff. But the only thing I really take issue with AI really is when people just flat out take the image and be like, we Gucci baby.
And with writing as well, AI has a tendency to remove any kind of soul from writing.
It's just basically like splurges the thesaurus tool, just button bashes
essentially.
It's like a 16-year-old GCSEs that just splurges.
Nevertheless, furthermore, once more over
here they're in,
I've got to get to 800 words.
It thinks it's Russell Brand with
essentially AI is Russell Brand with less sexual assault.
Alleged sexual assault.
It was televised, but okay.
I think we have to allegedly say allegedly.
I was talking about a different Russell Brand anyway, not the one you're thinking of.
I'm talking about the definite sex offender.
The milkman down the road, Russell T. Brand.
with a large vocabulary. Anyway, creatively, man, how's your week been? We don't want to talk shit about our lives, our day-to-day lives. That's for any other podcast. How's your creative week been, man? What your week been?
Oh, dude. You know, who would have thought that breaking the shackles of modern-day slavery is a perfect antidote to, like, not having enough time for creativity? Because I have made so much progress on stuff. I've got shit ready to go. Like, so much stuff.
Yeah, you've been on a tear from what I gather. You just, some people take the opportunity, some people get given an opportunity like you've been and squander it. You have not been, from everything from, I'm getting messages in the group chats and the private leave where you're like, oh, by the way, I've just added a free trick giveaway for anyone that signs up to my lecture. I've been doing this, I've been doing that. I'm like, oh, shit, dude.
I don't like the hard sell, but I do want to pay rent. So, We spoke about it last week, the lecture that I'm doing. I think the discount codes from last week are still, some of them are still available.
I can't believe how many people have booked tickets for it, man. Like, it's a really impressive amount. It's nice to see people supporting independence, like yourself.
Yeah. You know what? I got an email last night from a listener, a guy called, I won't say his full name, but a guy called Rob. And he emailed me out of the blue. I don't think I've ever spoken to him before. And he said, "Hey, I really love yours and Lloyd's podcast. And I'm so happy to hear that, you know, you're trying to do magic full time. I made sure not to use a discount code because I want to support you as much as possible."
Oh, what a sweetheart. I didn't use my discount code either because I was too stupid. I totally would have ripped you off if I had the chance. I'm kidding.
But as a big thank you, over the next few weeks, three completely free original effects are getting sent out to anyone who has bought tickets or buys tickets.
Amazing. And also, shout out to did you say it was Rob?
His name is Rob. Yeah, Rob.
Shout out to Rob for doing that. I mean, not everyone's in that financial position to do so. So no. If they can support you in any way, or even just share something on Instagram, if they can't make it to the lecture, we're all in different positions in life. But we could all definitely help each other in all different sorts of ways. And it was really cool, actually. We got tagged today on Instagram by Daniel Rothschild, and the Blackout Podcast is in his top five listens of the entire year on Spotify. So if you do have a yearly roundup on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you're on, and you graciously somehow listen to us so much, we've made it into your top 10, please share it and let us know. It fills us with so much pride. And keeps the passion alive to keep doing this.
Does wonders for the ego.
Ultra niche podcast.
The niche within a niche. Yeah.
It's the niche within a niche within a niche. I think it's three niches, right? Because magic is fairly niche. Creative magic is even more niche. And then getting into like the mystical, realistic, creative side of magic is even more niche than that. We're basically the Inception. We're like that part where it's so slow in the audio of Inception, it just sounds like a whale, a sperm whale ejaculating over itself. You know, the background track is like.
That's the.
I'm not sorry. I went completely off kilter there. Welcome to the Blackout Podcast, y'all.
Yeah, I think we're on episode 30. What episode are we on? 34? 35?
I don't know, but I've always relied on you to count the episodes in for us, because it feels like it's basically the only structure we really have.
Okay, we're on episode 30.
30 what? I think Jake just timed out there, or I lost signal. One of us disconnected for a second. Apologies. I can just see 35. Jake's... Episode 35, did you say?
Yeah, man.
Episode 35. That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, what an achievement to get this far, even. With that all being said and done, what should we talk about today, dude? What topic should we cover? What's igniting your flame creatively this week?
Dude, everything. I mean, even before we started recording, we went on a 30-minute little private creative jam about old card tricks, which isn't even my forte, but I fell in love with certain things.
Yeah, do you know what? It's funny because when you called me, if you could see behind me, I had my close-up table out and I had cards in a certain orientation because I was looking up old self-working card tricks. And basically because I've just making YouTube or making videos is one of my side passions next to magic, and I want to just make more YouTube videos in my spare time, and so I went on the research panel in my analytics section, and then I look for what are people interested in, what are people watching and searching for at the minute on YouTube, and the top result by a million miles is self-working card tricks. That's the most popular search for result on YouTube, and it happens to be that I absolutely in love self-working card tricks. I don't know how many people know this. I think, well, quite a lot of like the stuff I post or have done, especially on the Patreon, are like some weird creative self-working car tricks. So I was like, oh, perfect. If people love self-working car tricks, I'm a self-working car trick aficionado. Aficionado? What can I jam on? So why don't we, with that being said, why don't we consider revamping a self-working car trick in this episode, or taking a concept and applying it to a self-working car trick, so making it fit. You know, so there's two, Potter sculptor type approach. Either take the self-working car trick and make it something more creative or more fooling, disguising that it's self-working, or take something that would generally be a cool cool presentation and pick a self-working car trick to apply it to. What do you think?
100,000,000,000%. I am down. You know, I was quite sad the other month when Carl Forbes passed away, because same. I don't think I would be a magician today if it wasn't for Carl Forbes. I remember finding his books in a library, two in particular. One was just a self-working car book, and the other was a mental magic book.
Oh, wow. What a set of books to find in a library, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very lucky that the old library, which is no longer there anymore, by my childhood home, had a couple of magic books in there.
It's probably some sort of artisan coffee shop or burger bar in Liverpool now, right? I'm guessing.
Quite possibly. I think it might be a vet's, actually.
Like I said, artisan burgers. He's Swedish meatballs and the dog's bollocks.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old Hugh Dennis joke, I think. we gotta pay dues.
But genuinely, I think I don't think I would be into magic if it weren't for Carl Forbes, Copperfield and Blaine.
Also, your nan was a mentalist.
She used some things from mentalism in a kind of fortune telling routine. Yeah.
On a side topic, I mentioned this on the Magic podcast with Craig last week. I actually haven't recorded with Craig this week. I haven't heard from him.
I hope he's okay.
Dude, he's just bonkers. He's 24/7. Normally it's me not getting in touch with Craig, but I'm just from him. So I hope you're okay, Craig, but I think he's just bonkers performing. But I did sort of let slip about David Copperfield, or at least someone from David Copperfield's team having an interaction with me. Which is quite cool.
I mean, you were worried about ceases and desists.
To summarize, basically, I put up a video on my YouTube channel about three lay theories, or lay people's theories, from comment sections on the internet, in which they think, or thought, David Copperfield would make the moon vanish. And disclaimer, he's been working on this for 30 years with some of the best creators in the world. There's not a chance on this whole goddamn earth he was going to be doing any of the suggested methods. But I shared those methods because they're crazy, and I animated the way they work. Some of them actually could be viable. That's the thing. They could be viable methods. There's just no way he's going to do those methods, right?
Yeah.
And it was quite abundantly clear stated in the video. And I thought after posting it, I seen a comment on somewhere, and someone was like pissed off that I'd made the video. And it was very clear that this was theories that were out there in the public domain by lay people, not magicians. Anyway, long story short, I thought, oh God, if people are going to get pissed off about this, then probably, you know, maybe I have shared the secret. That copy, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, got an email from the incredible Chris Kenner, one of my favorite creators of all time, Copperfield's right hand man, 30-year-long creative consultant, saying that they'd seen it and they loved it.
So badass.
Yeah, absolutely blown the away. So kind of felt like I got given a golden ticket there, you know, like if anyone wants to like really go to town on trying to like just say, hey, you fucked up, you shouldn't be sharing how the public think this should be done, I would just sort of go whoosh, and slap the email and say, well, they liked it, the team liked it. So
yeah, man, the team said it's Gucci, baby.
Yeah. So anyway, right. So Carl Falls, man. What do you? I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but do you have a favorite or collection of favorite self-working Carl Falls tricks?
So the ones that are my favorite are ones where I am actually kind of working on versions myself. So
yes,
I don't want
okay.
to delve too much into those ones. I
Yes,
could literally go and just grab, there's about five of his books over on my shelf there. I could just go and grab one and open it to a page or something.
Is this why the library closed down? Because you robbed it blind and then they don't have any
Yes,
books
yes.
left.
If I turn my camera around, you would see an unholy amount of books.
Love it, man. Well, do you know, I'll go on to one thing then. John Bannon, Mentalismo, was like top three, maybe favorite ever card magic book for sure.
Yeah.
And Mentalismo in particular is basically self-working card tricks with a mentalism theme. And there's a bunch of different principles shared in there. Most of them are not created by John Bannon, the principles, but it's more about the foliage around them, the presentations. What Bannon has a beautiful ability to do is take two clever principles and combine them together. And at the very start of the book, he talks about synergy when A plus B is greater than C. That was something which blew me away, was this idea of combining two principles or multiple principles together so that you end up in a position that, you know, that just seems completely impossible. And anyway, so there's a bunch of different things in there, like the Marlowe automatic placement, the Oracle principle, things like the, the Gemini deal. But one of the ones which I love in there in particular, which I've never really done anything more with, is there's an effect, and I won't be able to recall the name off the top of my head, but answers on a postcard. But basically it ends with, she loves me, she loves me not. So they have a pile of cards in their hand, and they go through the ritual of, they drop one on the table, or put one to the bottom and say, she loves me, or he loves me, or they love me, and then drop one to the, and then discard one, they love me not. They love me, they love me not. They love me, they love me not. They love me, they love me not. All the way down to being on the final card, right? Which is their card, which matches their card. Self-working, mathematically based, which means that it'll always be the same or same outcome every single time. I think that's just a beautiful principle. I think that's a beautiful presentation regardless. You know, that she loves me, she loves me not, or he loves me not. They, what, I don't want to fucking offend anyone. My dog loves me, my dog does not love me.
Yeah.
If it was my dad, I'd be like, my dad does not love me, my dad does not love me, my dad.
Yes, there's a few tricks that use that old principle that I absolutely adore.
Yes. What I like about it is that it's universal in terms of everyone understands how it works, or understands the concept of it, and kind of understand the whimsical reason for its existence, right? You would either decide to marry your potentially betrothed future lover or not. So why don't we spice it up a bit? Why don't we think about some of the flaws, or the not the flaws, why don't we think about some of the ways in which you could cover up the method? For example, if they believe that it's always going to be a predetermined card, right? So you say, look, if let's play a game of, I'm just going to say she, because I'm married to Kaylee, so I'll say she loves me, she loves me not. Let's say I would be about to begin this process. I would hand somebody a stack of cards. Their thought of card is in there, right? And I'd say, in a moment, you're going to play a game of she loves me, she loves me not. And the way you do this is by she loves me, it goes to the bottom, it stays with you. She loves me not gets left aside. And you continue this all the way through. Now, do you think this is fair? And of course, they're going to, maybe some way, shape, or form, you're going to guide them into saying, well, basically, the card is sort of already, or maybe you just tell them, look, the card will, at this point in time, one of these cards has already been selected purely by the rhyming scheme, right? The odds and principle of this. So we need to make sure that this is truly random. Could you cut off a random amount of cards and drop them on top? Maybe something like that. You know what I mean? And now it's thrown chaos into the mix, because they're like, okay, that fully changes the game.
Yeah.
Right. So you could do something like that. It could be as simple as, in case you think that I know which card will end up being the last one, give those cards a shuffle. Right? It could be that. So you give those cards a shuffle. Which is just a nice way of now making it feel like magic as opposed to maths. Right?
Yeah.
So that's like a cool place to sort of, or just some stuff to think of. I do/don't love the idea of it ends with the cards being blank except for their one, so it could only be their matching partner.
Right.
And what if it was two people? So in my case, husband and wife. The husband has half the deck. The wife has, or they both have a chunk of cards each that they shuffle. Both of you shuffle, and silently underneath the table, play "She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not." Right? And then potentially go from there. So they end up with either cards that are matching, they have the only blank cards. Maybe the method doesn't have to be the mathematical one. Maybe the method is the very top card is going to be their card, right? And or the second card down, and they discard it. So yeah. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, because this whole process is always just the last card dealt. It's the bottom card dealt to the discarded pile. You know? So then there's no worry, because at this point you could say, shuffle them up. Now do it again. She loves me not. Da-da-da-da-da. Because you know that they're going to be left with one card in their hand. You could maybe have them, you know, say, take that pile, turn that card face up, or you know, take that pile. You know what I mean? You could basically, instead of making it a self-working maths trick, you could almost design it to feel like a self-working maths trick, but secretly, it's just a simple card trick.
Okay, I love that idea. I always get kind of inspired when you talk about a trick for a couple. So, one of my first kind of initial thoughts that I was just having then is, if you were to start with a full deck and they each select a card, this couple each select a card, you bring both of their cards up to the top next to each other without them knowing.
Okay.
Which, you're much better at cards than me, and you probably have a million ways. I would do the simplest silly little culls or forces or whatever. So both their cards are at the top next to each other. And then you tell them that they're going to deal down a pile for each of them. You know, for John and Mandy. So John, Mandy. Doing that, both of their cards are now at the bottom of the respective piles.
Yeah.
And then if you were to pick, if you say this is a test, this is what they used to do in 1840 in France, this was the love test. You've both chosen a card at random. You've dealt down your own little piles. And now I want you to do the "she loves me, he loves me, no" kind of thing. So then they're both left with the card. You could do it so they're both left with the card of the respective, of the, their partner, that their partner chose.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Or something like that.
Hmm.
Is that too much process? Because they've got to deal piles twice then.
No, I don't think it is. No. Well, if they did it simultaneously, would it work?
So the first one is... So the first one would just be piles for each of them, with the cards going down to the bottom.
Yeah, I'm just doing this in my head. I can't remember what the principle was. Was it if there's nine cards?
I think eight.
Is it eight cards?
I think so.
And would it be the... who would it be?
I guess it does depend which...
the way to work it out was just you take ace to king and however many you want to use, do the thing, whatever, and put them in order, remember which orientation it started in, and then go through the process. Whatever number was the one left in your hand, that's what the fourth card position would be in.
Yeah.
So am I really going to do this on air as we're recording? Are people going to, well, you're going to have to listen to this, guys. I'm just taking out ace, two, three, four, five. Are you sure it's eight, six?
The version I do, I'm sure, is eight. But I do it with tarot cards.
Is there a better number than 8? Is there a reason for 8? Like, oh, I actually, yeah. 8, you could say, is infinite. 8 of hearts, infinite love. You know, maybe that's the card they're going to find. All right, I've got 8 cards here, starting ace at the top, 8 on the bottom. She loves me, she loves me not. 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 And that leaves me with the ace of clubs. It was the very top card of the pile. Holy potato chips. It's funny because the pile on the table then is in a numerical order. 5, 7, 3, 8, 6, 4, 2. Dude! Talk about combining principles. What if you did, you know, Paul Curry's Superior Swindle?
Yeah.
I think it's called Superior Swindle. Yeah, where you go, deal or switch.
Mm-hmm.
Deal, switch. Deal, switch. Deal, switch. But because you know the predetermined order of that pile, those numbers, you have 7 cards, 7 numbers in order. They could be a phone number. They could be anything. So you could say, look, so you do, she loves me, she loves me not. And they're left with a card, right? And those cards are both discarded. Then you'd say, both of you pick up your respective piles, and you're going to give these two piles an extra shuffle. And so you say, look, you're going to either deal or switch, deal or switch, deal or switch. And they do it twice, which is just basically going to reset the order to whatever they were, right? If you do it twice, it just completely resets the order. But it's the most, I use this in so much of the stuff that I do. It's so fooling to a lay audience.
Yeah.
And people don't know you can do a triple once. You can go deal, split, or twist, which is deal, split, and then you can go 1, 2, 3, which looks even more fooling. Anyway, but now they both have a card of their heart's desires. They're synchronous cards, they're symmetrical matching cards, if you wish. But they also now have a pile which they really think is shuffled like crazy. Yeah. But the reality is that is a predetermined order, even though they've shuffled it in their heads like 3 times or twice. You only have to do the Superior Swindle once if you want, and it'll just reverse the order. And I wonder, I did, you know, like years ago, I wrote down a list of words and phrases that can be made from the index values of playing cards. So, you know, like if you use 7, queen, ace, 3, it spells love upside down.
Yeah. I think when we very first started talking, we both said we had our own little lists of words that you could write down, because that was my excuse for doing an ace production or any kind of like self-work and ace production was to get away. Love.
Dude. I think you can spell she loves me.
Wait.
Oh! wait. Holy Toledo's. Right. 5 is S, 4 is H, right? Yeah.
Yep.
3 is E, L is 7, Q for O, V for V. Because you can always clarify that with like handwriting as well, like a piece of paper. She loves another E, 5. And then 3 can also be an M, right? Oh, you can spell Jake. Nice. Whoa, you spell Jake pretty well.
Yeah, that was what I used to do.
She loves me. I mean, you could use 2 threes and turn one of them sideways, right?
Yeah.
She loves me. The problem is there's 9 cards here.
Mm.
Yeah, look at that. Right. If you hold the cards like this and just turn one of those threes at an angle, let me show you this. She loves me. You just get that 3 the right way. She loves me.
Mm.
Maybe it's done. Right? Okay, so there's 9 cards here. This is kind of cool. So just so everyone can listen at home or in stands at home, the final order is 5, 4, 3, 7, queen, 8, 3, 5, 3, 3. I'm sure there's probably a better card for an M, but for the time being, I say nay. Anyway. So now you have to just reverse all of this, right?
Yeah.
So the 4, so it needs to end in this position. I would say the 4 card is going to be the 5 of hearts for me at the top of the pile. And then it goes, she loves me. How do you recreate she loves me not? Do you put it on top? Yeah.
If it involves any kind of like process like this, I am not your man.
She loves me because it comes from the top. She loves me not. And then you put that 3 above it. She loves me not. And then that 5 above it. I'm going to try. I'm taking one off the top of the pile and then taking the bottom card and putting it on top of that. I also am hyper aware that if anybody thought I had any signs of intelligence, then I've just exposed myself.
Yeah, not the first
Okay, time. So I have the fourth card, the 5 of hearts, is in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th position. 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 10 cards in total here. So the 5th card down, I think, should be right in this instance. So I'd force the 5 of hearts, have somebody place it back at the 5th position, grab a slice of cards and say, we're going to play a game of she loves me, she loves me not. So she loves me, she loves me not. 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 Leaving me, boom, with the 5 of hearts. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to do Paul Curry's Superior Swindle twice. So deal, twist, deal, twist, deal, twist, deal. I say, look, do it again one more time. Hand it to them to do it as well. Deal, twist, 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 deal, deal. Drop that 5 of hearts on top. And now it spells, she loves me. Yeah, boom, nailed it.
Dude.
Let me show you that in reverse.
Dude. So you know, just looking at that, it doesn't initially say she loves me, but do you know how you get it to that?
How? Oh God, I think your internet dropped.
So you can have like the ace upside down and stuff, and have it like I'm on my 4G again. That isn't the end of the trick. That's the kicker. The end of the trick is the prediction. And you can have a photo taken where it does actually look like it's spelled she loves me not. She loves me.
So
you get the double whammy of it being like, oh, there's a predict. You have predicted the right order, but also wait a second, look. So you can have it like set up nicely in the photo.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay, just for everyone listening at home, the order that it starts in to completely begin it is, and this is for my own sanctity of mind, is 3-3, queen, 3-5-5, 7-3-4-ace. All right, so from the top down, top card face down is a 3, followed by a 3, queen, 3-5-5-7-3-4-ace. Yeah, dude, you're absolutely right. If it's written like, if it's spelled out in a photo that looks like it, or if you've got a piece of paper out, and as they're saying it, you write down 5 and you sort of put it into like write a handwriting style of that, you know, like, so like, come on. You could say, like, has anyone ever written boobs on a calculator? This kind of looks like a word to me. This kind of looks like she loves me. And maybe you do that and you say, look, these cards, oh no, because you need their card in play. You need, let's say you could do that and then say, oh, so if this says she loves me, then your card must be perfect. But I'd say nay.
I think the strength relies in that, like, 2 reveals.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and using the kicker, 2 reveals kicker to your advantage. So,
dude, I'm kind of like
even
in love with this trick.
Yeah, it's really nice. That came super naturally to you then as well.
It's talking about John Patton. Pardon me, I just burped. Oh my God. And there comes a pack of quavers. It came from just talking about John Bannon combining principles and one of the things that he dabbled with. This is really cool, man. She loves me, she loves me not trick, where the card is bang on, and eventually there's a prediction of cards in order, and the prediction says she loves me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to perform this on Kaylee.
Please do. This is what... Whenever I feel a little bit less excited about magic, which everyone has moments where you fall out of love for a little while. When I was younger, I used to fall out of love with something because, you know, maybe someone in school took the piss out of me for doing a card trick. I go home and I fall out of love with it. And the way that I fall back in love with it is what I used to call mixing my drinks, where I just pick two completely separate tricks and come up with a version that use both of them. Or two separate principles. And that was the way that I would get myself back interested. Find two old principles, mix them together. It's like the easy route into creativity, but then you come up with some amazing stuff.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm just thinking, in terms of like the trimmings to the effect, then you could literally just have someone, air quotes, pick a card, which would be the force card, the five of hearts. So pick a card, the five of hearts. And what you could do is, if you had a breather crimp in the top card or the bottom card, it'd be the top card of the deck. The bottom most, oh no, so if you put the bottom half of the 10 card stack on top, above a breather crimped card, right? So there'd be one breather crimped card, five cards in stack order. The bottom four cards, let me think about this. Where would it be? Either way, basically, they'd input that card. You could either cut it or back in, but it's going to cut into where the 10 card stack is. We'd literally go back into the exact fifth position. And then, because you've got the breather crimp, you can just say, look, we'll just use a pack. Kind of like, you know, the Biddle trick. In the Biddle trick, you say, I'm going to cut through cards. I don't think I can get to your card, but I think I'm close. Is it one of these? Maybe you do that sort of presentation where you're like, look, I know your card's somewhere here. I don't know. I don't know how many cards I've got, but is it at least in this pile of cards? And there's obviously it's the 10 cards. It'll be almost bang on. It'll be the fifth card in, so center, but not center because it's an even amount. And they say, yes, okay, don't tell me anything. Like, actually, you take them. Dude, if it's a breather crimp, and you put a big pinky break at the back, they can actually cut off the pile themselves, you know, and it'll take the exact amount. It's a Danny Ortiz idea. But that way it feels more fair. It feels like they just cut some cards.
Dude, we'll move straight back to what you were just saying, but I was just thinking, this is a predetermined set of 10 cards. You could just have that repeating five times in the deck and it appear like a normal deck. And then they could it'd be a stack of She Loves Me Not, and they could cut wherever they want, and all you have to do is get rid of like a couple of cards in some fashion so that it could always
that's so good. Yeah, they always just, well, because it's a cyclical stack.
Yeah.
You could they would I think as long as you get rid of any excess cards from it, so maybe you only have 50 cards, they can cut 50, anywhere. Yeah. You pick up the top 10 cards from where they cut. So you just deal, say, look, we'll use 10 cards, but cut anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Here's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cards. It literally
and then just cut that.
Naturally cut
the yeah.
cards at the top, and then just say, look, just Riffle Force or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. And you can show that, and it looks like it's mixed. A stack of five of those.
You cut and complete the deck anywhere and just deal off the top 10 cards into a pile. Boom, done. Perfect. You say, look, yeah, fair. They're all different. Nice. I'll riffle down, call out, stop, remember that card. Perfect. Here we go. Done.
That's so good.
Jake, that's so clever. That's so clever, Jake. Shit. What did your grandmama feed you, son? Oh man,
I assume you were insulting me.
I say, what did your grandmama feed you, son?
Jesus.
At this point in the podcast, people are either going, these assholes are drinking their own Kool-Aid and this is boring and this trick sucks, or they're on board with us. So I hope you're on board with us. If you think we're assholes, you've already left the podcast, and we apologize to absolutely fucking nobody. But yeah. This is the stuff that excites me, man. I got to be honest. Like, this is the
same. Well, yeah, and you know when something comes together naturally, and it seems easy. That's usually because it's a good idea.
That's a good way of looking at it. That's probably why Elon Musk struggled so hard with buying Twitter.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not making political jokes. We'll get canceled straight away. All right, dude, that was that. Wait, can we take this further then? Because my only problem with these kind of effects are if you do something which ends up with a miraculous, oh my God, of all the, if you'd said yes or no and chosen one card more, one card less, everything else would have been different. Padam, that's your card. And then you reveal it was predicted all along. It kind of cancels out the inherent nature of what was magic about it, right?
Okay.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, what about if, I agree with you. So what about if you made the prediction like midway through at some point? As if it was more like a meant, I don't know, actually. Yeah, you are right.
Unless you remove the element of it being a one in a million chance sort of type thing of it being their card, and you tell them it's predetermined. So you take away the possibility. So, because you don't want to cancel out the fact that what happened in either, if you don't want to, if it was a prediction, then it can't have been pure chance, which I love.
Right.
I love playing in that area of chance because it's real magic.
Yeah.
So it's either you can have, I mean, it's never either or, but ideally it would either be everything looks like chance at the end, like just a complete set of coincidences, or everything was predetermined. And if it's going to be, and I'm just thinking out loud, if it's going to be predetermined, do you tell them from the get-go if you are destined to be with your lover or whatever it's going to be, then this will always make sense. This will always be right. So then it doesn't feel like it was just chance. It was meant to be. And that's why the prediction makes sense. Because it's very hard to shoehorn in, oh, and just by chance it spells she loves me. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, no, you are right. I think the idea is just so infatuating that it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to look past the logical quirks that are going to come up with this kind of stuff.
It's like the logical fallacy to the magic. But also we have to remember that a lot of magic tricks just don't make sense. Like when you think back on them, some of the best tricks of all time don't make sense.
Yeah.
But they're just, yeah. I mean, how many people are going after that effect? Well, it's not very magic, is it? I don't know. Really, I don't know.
I think there does need to be little layers to kind of disguise it and to almost stop their brain going in the direction of, well, if it was already written down, then it was predetermined by you. So, where do you go with it? It's in when I come up, when there are little quirks like this, like a snag, where is their brain going to snag at this point? You have to kind of work backwards, don't you, and say, well, what do I do to stop their brain snagging at them point at that point where they say, no, this is impossible that you could have predicted it. So, I mean, you could even do, you could switch out the stack.
So you say, look, you take 10 cards, shuffle them up. Oh, actually, pass me the deck. We'll put these over here. That's where your switch happens or whatever. And you say, do you want to specifically change it? What if it was you, I kind of hate resorting to this. But if you use the toxic force for the values, say, look, take your pin number, take your birthday, take whatever, times it all together, and you should have a fairly large number on your calculator. But let's pull out the values from that number. So what we got? 7, 7, 3, 0. Let's use queen. Looks kind of like a zero. Okay, cool. And if your birthday was any different, if your pin number was different, these would be different values. This is all based upon your life. Perfect. All right. You know?
No way to get ace, though.
One.
Oh, yeah. Duh. I'm an idiot.
No, well, it's just you're thinking along the lines of letters, isn't it? That could work. Because if it's on their phone, then... Yeah. It doesn't even, I mean, I created Cypher, the first one with Will Jones. So I know firsthand that people don't give a shit if it's done on your calculator because I've been doing it since 2016, I think it was. So I know that it's not a problem. So it doesn't matter about being on their phone. And as long as they just believe that it's truly random, then it's fine.
If you had the means to, it'd be cool as like a bill. It'd be cool if it was the number on a bill, their bill. It's just switched. So you start off with, you know, a I don't know, pen through bill or something. Give them a reason to give you their note.
Oh, that's clever. Oh, I talked about this in did I talk about it in Blackpool? Yeah, in my Blackpool lecture. If you did a pen through bill? Yeah, the impromptu pen through bill thing, bankrupt.
Right.
Then you switch out. Could it be something else? A bank number works, but it's just forging that thing. It could be a phone number. I never liked the phone number reveal so much. It could be what if you had a Quiver wallet and you said to somebody, take this pound coin and go and buy a lucky dip. In the UK, the lottery, a lucky dip, it means it's random numbers. So go and buy yourself random lottery numbers. Fold that ticket up. I'll open this purse. So I'll open this wallet. Put your folded ticket in there. You hold on to it. Don't get it wet. Don't lose it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Right? Then time goes by and you say, we're going to come back to those letters, those numbers from earlier. They take out the switch one. And then you say, actually, let's, so these are the lucky numbers you picked the lottery by random. Let's actually take these matching values out of the deck too. Because they, you know, so it goes from there, boom, boom, boom. And then, so they know the numbers ahead of time. They pick one, you do the whole effect, you do the whole she loves me thing. And then, oh, these spells, she loves me, those are the lucky deck numbers. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit more convoluted. It might actually be easier to force on a toxic calculator. Force.
Yeah. Because also, if they were actually to go get a real lucky dip and looked at it, some of them would be double digits.
Yeah.
That would work.
It can still work, though.
Yeah, yeah.
5, 7, 3, 4, 1, 7, 3, 4, 1. You have to, the annoying thing is with this effect, you have to turn it on its side, which is fine, though, because so in my calculator, I've input 3,303,557,341 plus 0 times 0. And now all they have to do is put in a random 3-digit number, 4-digit number, times by another one, press equals, and it comes up with this gigantic number, which is, we turn it sideways, 3,303,557,341. Okay, let's take these out of the deck. Oh, what a surprise. I got them right here. Okay. think of one of these cards, say stop. There, remember that card. She loves me. She loves me not. 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 I'd actually clear off the calculator because the numbers, the orientation is going to land exactly the same way. So I'd clear the calculator off. Right now, boom, the card they were thinking of. Yes, it's there. Five of hearts. Shazam. Drop this on top. The phone's out of play now. Gone. And you say, let's turn over these cards. Leave the five of hearts there, off to the side. Say, now you're going to shuffle these cards. Twist, twist, deal, twist, deal, twist. Do it one more time so they literally are jumbled in a proper good mix. That's a unique order. And you say, I'd say, then let's just spread these and have a look to see if your card is there. No, it's not there. Okay. And maybe you deal it in a way, it's like, is it the first two? No. Is it the next four? I'm separating into she loves me.
Yeah.
You know, is it the next one? No. I've got an extra card here. Oh, it's for Emmy. No, it's not. She loves the next five, sorry. E. No. Your card's not any of these cards? No. Perfect. Oh my gosh, did you get it right? Is true love going to happen for you? Yes, the five of hearts. Ta-da, take your bow. Everyone's freaking out. You've built up the suspense by dealing those cards out. Then you say, this is something crazy I can see. She loves, turn that sideways, me. She loves me. What? And then show it on a piece of paper or the predetermined photo that you have that she loves you or they love you. This only works, I suppose, if it's she loves me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you could do it. He loves me as well. Whatever the selected card is, could be a random card. So let's say it's a King of Hearts. That still goes in exactly the same position, and they reveal it at the end. Boom! You just don't add it to the pile of cards. So now it just says, "Look, he loves me."
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I suppose you could have they by putting the 7, 4, 3, 7, which kind of spells they.
Yeah.
See in a way, so they love me as well. So it's an inclusive piece of self-working, multi-principled card magic.
Dude, this is dope because we've just outlined like three variants for how you can get into it. And like, there's about three different ways you can get out of it, depending on what you want to reveal. You could even have it spelled out in front of you like that. Okay, and the last card we got was your card. Actually, there's something I can see that's a bit weird. You probably can't see it from where you're sitting. Take a picture with your phone for me. Flip it so that you're looking at the same rotation I'm looking at it on. And then so it's on their phone. You could even tell them to look at it when you've walked away. Figure it out. It's almost like there's a message left for you. And also, I love the idea of getting into it with Toxic, but I love the idea of this weird stack as well. Because then you can... then you can reference the B-52s and have it be called Love Stack.
Love Stack, maybe. Oh, that's so good. Is it cheesy? No, it's good.
You know what? It is cheesy, but it's so in vain of the stuff we were talking about. That is in the 70s, Carl Fulves put that out in a long forgotten book.
Yeah. Dude, I'm all about this trick, man.
Yeah. That's so, I absolutely love it when we don't have a subject and we just organically fall into something that is really fun.
I'm genuinely, yeah, dude, this trick's great. I feel like this could have been a booklet or a PDF or something.
You know, it's so good. We hopefully some people go and give it a go. I think a lot of the listeners that we have do mostly maybe like, they love their card stuff, but they want to do a little bit that's a little bit more weird sometimes. They just maybe don't feel comfortable stepping into the weirder stuff, but they love their card things. Because I know whenever we do an episode that is purely card stuff, I end up getting quite a lot of messages about it, people trying it. So I think people might want to play around with this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so. Guys, especially if you
wear weddings.
Oh, yeah, this is an ideal wedding trick. The cool thing is you can do it in a multitude of different ways. You can force the 10 values. You can have the deck in a cyclical stack. Or you could simply have a top stock or bottom stock control of cards and then force the desired card and have it replaced and take that 10 cards. Or you could just keep the 10 cards in your wallet, in an envelope, in a, you know, you could say in a wedding invite or something.
Hell yeah. Super, super multi-use.
What if, imagine you went to a wedding, right? Because at my wedding, I think there was 12 tables with like 6 people on each table or something like that in the day. What if, as the magician, right? Imagine you want to do a really special wedding. You take this pack of 10 cards and you give it, or maybe you take 10 cards and you give it to the top table. In an envelope, you give, say there's 6 people, say 8 people on the top table. You give them 8 envelopes. Inside each envelope is 10 cards, right? One of them is this force pile, and you'd end up giving that to the groom because in this scenario, it's she loves me. I understand that if you know, depending on whatever gender you are, then you can be he loves me, they love me, whatever. But in this, so you hand them all out long before the wedding begins. And then, so your top table effect is, say, we're all going to play a massive game of chance. I've each given you 10 cards at random, and we're all going to go through this process. And, you know, maybe the groom beforehand or the bride, you force with digital force bag, the thought of card, right? So in this case, the five of hearts. So you say, I want you all to think, you should, I want you all to think of a playing card. You should all be thinking of a playing card, which would be like a social, like, oh yeah, I am. Everyone else would be like, I'm going to think of one. Have a look, see if the card you're thinking of is in the hand of the person sitting next to you. The bride's would be, because she's predetermined thinking of it. So then she sees it. And then you say, okay, so now you go through this whole process with all of them, right? And the cool thing is, the seven other people on the table will not have the matching piles. They'll all be completely bullshit random orientations, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Except for the groom, who finds the thought of card of his new bride. And then you, the big final kicker reveal is, she loves me, from the groom.
Dude, they could both have it.
Matching piles.
Yeah. Well, he loves me and she loves me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know, he loves me, he loves me, she loves me, they love me.
Oh, yeah, that's sick. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and everyone else is... I mean, they could work, depending if anyone's married or not married. Yeah, yeah. But it would, I mean, just for the bride and groom, it just comes up as she, you know, it's she or they or he loves me. And that's a pretty, like, fucking great trick. I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it. And to say a trick that we created is great, it's pretty arrogant and egotistical. But it's a pretty fun trick. It would see a lot of audience participation. There's a lot of convincers. And then the kicker upon kicker end. Everyone, it's a wedding. Everyone knows she loves me, she loves me not. And then to have the final reveal could be as a big prediction. And it's kind of ties into it. Yay, she loves me. So it finishes on a like note, you know?
Dude, you could even have the selection be fair. If you had the love stack and you get them to pick the 10 cards they're going to put in their envelope for later.
Oh, yeah. Because as long as the first, say, look, you cut the deck, take 10 cards for yourself. You take the deck, shuffle it, cut, take 10 cards for yourself. You make sure the force pile is the first one.
Yeah.
You know?
And you keep hold of that envelope the entire night because we're going to see, you know, the relevance of the cards you chose or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Or do it like a bank night style. So it forces that's that. Oh, too many variations, man. This is too much.
That's the trouble. That's the trouble. You can go a million different ways. And I hope that people message us or maybe put a comment in the Facebook group if they have some ideas about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more places you could take it, right? Because you don't have to do playing cards. It could be cards with letters written on them. So it could be Dave loves me. You know, just recreate the stack orientation. Yeah. It could be what's it called? David Jonathan's snaps deck.
Yeah.
You could do it with snaps, you know? So they end up with a thought of word matching the photograph. And then the kicker is that the photograph spell, someone loves me in some way, shape, or form. That's actually a pretty ideal one to do. Yeah, there's a bunch of ways of doing this.
I love this. I don't care if it's, you know, egotistical to say you love your own idea. We were speaking about this literally the other day. You have to be your own biggest fan.
Yeah. Dude, what if it's a... Instead of it saying a sentence, she loves me, or whatever, the final cards in this scenario is nine. There's nine cards. There's 10 cards, but one of them's the selection. So instead of they mix. And then imagine they were blank cards that you've written or drawn something on, you deal them down into a grid of 3x3. And when you turn them all over, it's a picture of, in the lamest sense, like a love heart that all matches absolutely perfectly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. It's just...
It could even be that there's a word on each blank card. So say you have a nine-word sentence. I don't know what a nine-word sentence is. With great power comes great responsibility. I don't know how many fucking words are in that. But something along those lines, you know what I mean? If it was a wedding, it was something romantic. If, you know, it could just be whatever. And yeah, then so when you deal out the cards in order, then the sentence makes complete sense.
Till death do us part, you may now kiss.
Is that a nine-word sentence?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Till death do us part, or kiss, now kiss the bride, or...
Yeah, that works.
It could be even something funny, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%.
Because it could, well, it could be if in that case, not so much funny, but you could have a lovely sentence, but the word that's missing is like "fuck you" or something, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it could be like, I don't know, tiptoe through the tulips. And then the last card is, oh, okay. I have an idea, but I can't share on here because it's a new thing.
Yeah, gotcha. No worries.
All right. Well, I don't know, man. My brain is like going on overdrive. I just want people to know, you know, this trick may not be good because sometimes when you're in the heat of the moment, you get excited. It's the only way to really create is to be excited about an idea. I was talking to Kaylee yesterday because I love renovating properties. It's like the thing I'd probably do if it wasn't magic. And she said to me, there's a property I like that I'm thinking about buying to renovate. I live here, but it's another property. And it's a 3-bedroom house in my town. And it's more expensive than if we bought an apartment because they're, you know, smaller. And she said to me, why don't I want to buy like a smaller property and renovate that? And the simple reason is because like I'm passionate about like I live in like a 3-bedroom house, right? And I'm passionate about this house because it's my family. It's the house that I'm going to raise my family. And I said to her, I couldn't renovate a house that I wouldn't be passionate about living in myself. Not that I wouldn't live in an apartment. I have lived in an apartment, but having a family in this town, the 3-bedroom house is what we need. I have my office. He has a bedroom. We have a bedroom. So it's like, I said to her, I couldn't passionately renovate a house if I wasn't passionate about living there like myself. And it's the same kind of thing. I couldn't passionately create a piece of magic unless I was passionate about performing it myself. And I was, you know, I thought it was good in the moment. It's such a sidetrack topic. I apologize.
No, not at all, dude.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I feel the same way.
You have to be in it.
Yeah. And so sometimes you come up with a trick and you think, oh, maybe there's something there, but I actually don't know if I would do that. So I don't know how much effort I'm going to put into, you know, going through with it. Maybe I'll give it to someone else. They might be able to do something with it. And sometimes you hit gold and it's something that you love and it works really well. And sometimes maybe it's a cool principle you've came up with, but you're not passionate about it. And the cool thing about this is that every week we get to, it doesn't really matter if we love it or if it's just a cool idea because other people might love it. But sometimes you hit all the check marks.
I really like this one, man. I think it's really, really cool.
I like it. I think that is, it's such a perfect wedding trick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a perfect coffee shop trick as well. If you're hanging out with, you know, normally a lot of people, I'm trying not to be, you know, too thingy, but a lot of people, when they hang out with their buddies, they'll, at some point, relationships will come up in conversation. And it doesn't have to be she loves me not, he loves me, or they love me. It can be other things. There's other phrases you can make from writing in the cards as well.
Yeah.
Just there's ways you can figure out, you can take every card and see what letters you make out. That's what I did. And then put them into into an anagram solver.
Yeah.
You know, so you get 4 of each letter in a deck generally.
Yeah. Yeah. You could write Jake loves me.
Jake loves me. Yeah. Jake loves.
Don't
Jake,
even
Jake loves them. Jake loves them.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it could be anything. It doesn't have to spell the word. The numbers could just be it reveals the person you're performing to's phone number. Or, you know, I'm always reluctant to do something so on the nose, but you know, then having it written out as she loves me also is pretty on the nose.
Yeah. And I think the past couple of weeks I've been thinking a lot about my attitude towards certain effects and certain tricks. And even just, you know, sometimes when you remember a trick that was released maybe like 5 or 10 years ago, you go to look up an old trailer and you, when you search on Google, the second thing that comes up is the Magic Cafe thread on that effect when it was released. And you read through some of that stuff or you read through Facebook groups and you think, man, people have the weirdest opinions and I never want to fall into that mindset of just instantly dismissing stuff. And I'm starting to think, I'm not going to be elite about effects. I'm not going to say that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Because, you know what? I've seen people absolutely kill with the shittest tricks.
Yes, that's so true. I've seen some terrible tricks. Objectively terrible tricks. Or subjectively, I don't know what the word is, but whatever. Absolutely frying. It makes me re-evaluate. Like, I know so many magicians stick their nose up at the Omni deck.
Yeah.
But that effect, I don't give a fuck who you are, that effect creates incredible moments for your audiences. And as much as I don't want to like doing the Omni deck, I fucking love doing it because I know I can immediately create like just an amazing piece of magic for someone.
Yeah.
That blows them away. And sometimes you got to be better. You got to look beyond your own ego.
Dude,
you know,
I was reading something the other day. I really need to find a method to get this peak and blah, blah, blah. Please, no one advertised that. No one suggests this entity. And I just thought, man, the problem is with you because I've made people cry with this entity.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I find? There's a bell curve of and I think I definitely went through it. There's a bell curve of your journey in magic, and it goes like, and I see so many people being like this today, and so many people that are not as well. But it goes from you're a student, you think you know everything, and you start to turn your nose up at stuff, and then you become too cool for school. You become, there's like, you know, everyone knows there's definitely like a boys club within magic, or a clique within, there's a certain sort of tier of magicians that are, they're the type that are too cool to do tricks at a convention. No new trick is good enough. Everything has to be critiqued to the nth degree. And that's sort of like towards the top of the bell curve. And then as you progress, and I feel like you get, I don't like to use the word better, but as you get more experienced and have a bit more wisdom about you in your magic pathway, you realize that suddenly you're now back down and you are a student, and you realize that the stuff that potentially, you know, 10 years ago you were, when you were in that clique or wanted to be part of that clique, or you see those people that are in those boys clubs of magic looking down, you realize that's actually the good shit. That's where the good stuff lies. Like, I mean, it'd be interesting to see that, you know, because this trick that we've worked on today, you know, it's probably after we have the come down and we're not on the high of it, it may not be very good. But at the minute, I think it's good. But it'd be interesting to see how many people like the effect we've ended up with. But when we first mentioned, why don't we do a trick with She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not, kind of went and rolled their eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm sure will happen. But also, it was a first draft, and someone's going to listen to this episode and realize that they can combine it with something else and absolutely fucking kill.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think, I've seen a cool variation of the superior, I think it's called the superior swindle, which is the deal or twist thing. And I think it was by Ramsey, and he got a tattoo. He got a tattoo of a set of numbers, and then he got the same tattooist in the evening. One of the numbers was crossed out, and then in the evening he just had that pack of that stack of cards. He said, "Deal, twist, deal, twist, deal, twist," and then he did a time in force. It's like, "Oh, do you know what? Stop your finger anyway." Boom, forced the number that was crossed out evidently on his tattoo, and then revealed the guy had mixed the cards into that same order except for the one that he had crossed out. Beautiful presentation of an effect. Completely balls to the walls, basic method. If you'd written that down, or if you put that out as a download or some sort of book, you would have been laughed at from definitely the Magic Cafe, because those guys think they're connoisseurs, until seeing it performed and the impact that it had. And I feel like this is kind of in that same realm, especially since it uses Superior Swindle somewhere along the line there in that effect. But we haven't performed it yet, so this could get a whack reaction. It could get cheesy. I don't think it could, but it will, you know.
All performer dependent, right? And if anyone has liked it, I hope that you come up with your own version. I hope that you film something, because we love seeing people film stuff that we've kind of came up with on the spot.
Yeah. For shizzle. Faux shizzle.
Usually when Lloyd says faux shizzle, that signals that he's ready to go have his chicken tendies and his pizza. And this episode is actually supposed to be uploaded in about 45 minutes. So I've got to go make a thumbnail and write some stuff up.
Do you know what? I feel like I should share this on my YouTube channel and then direct people to come and watch more episodes or listen to more episodes of the podcast. It'd be a great, I think this is a great one to perform on a Fooler and then tell people they can come and learn it here or something.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But I also kind of like this small little community of listeners too. There is that. But it's also small, you know, we did good numbers.
We're doing okay numbers, yeah. And we're not a, it's not like some elitist little club or anything. It's just tiny but mighty, like something else.
You can't listen to this podcast if you have an ego about your about magic. If you believe that sponge balls are not good enough to perform, then something tells me that this this podcast will make you vomit. And I like that.
I like that too. I like that a lot. Because what all does right. it boil down to? The performance, how you do it, how it's structured.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. So true. A beautiful shining example is Penn, Gillette, and Teller performing the children's toy ball and vase. They literally could perform that as part of their stage show, and they would absolutely slay with it. Yeah, people on the Magic Cafe would declare proudly that it's absolutely a piece of shit because they say so.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wrong. Sorry, I've gone off in a completely different direction. On that note, folks, yeah, I do have to be getting off. Hope you all enjoyed it. I thought this was a banging episode, man.
It was a beautiful episode, and hopefully we put more love out into the world.
Yes. Yeah, what a great way to finish. Until next week, folks, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe, hit the subscribe button, follow along. Reach out to us if you want to at theblackartco.com. Find us on the Facebook group and all those good things in between. But until Hell next yeah. time, folks.
Yeah. And go check out jakekeen.com because I want to sell more lecture tickets.
Oh, yeah, guys, if you like this type of magic, if you like this discussion, Jake Keen's lecture is where it's at. Jake Keen, JAKEKEANE, jakekeen.com. Pick up the lecture notes with the lecture ticket at the same time. And Jake sending out 3 free tricks to all people that have got their bums confirmed to be in seats. You literally, it's such a great deal. And if you love this, then it's going to blow you away.
Yeah, promise I'll try not to mention it too much in the run-up.
All right, guys. Love, peace, and flying geese. I need to do the thing now where I play the music, right?
See ya.
I need to play the music. Hey,
oh, yeah.
Shit.
Rollers out, Lloyd. Rollers out.
La la.